This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Greg McBride with Allendale. We'll recap 2023 and look to the new year in just a moment. First off, looking at the Climate Change Fellows Program could be an opportunity.
We have created 40 new jobs for 40 new climate change fellows, and they're two-year positions that can be extended for two more years for a total of 4 years. And again, they're really for entry-level folks that are interested in working on this issue, that are passionate maybe about climate change and want to do something about it. And we are able to, you know, put these new jobs out there.
Claire Sorosky is with USDA's Rural Development Mission.
This is an awesome opportunity for anybody who's interested in working on climate change and helping being part of the solution to get in there and help us make this clean energy transition in rural America possible.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Greg McBride. Greg is Director of Brokerage with Allendale. They're headquartered in McHenry, Illinois, and online at allendale-inc.com. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be back.
All right. You know, it's interesting when you start asking people and you say, how would you define 2023? I've had some who've just said, well, it was a disaster. I've had others who said it started off like it was going to be the best year ever, and it was a disaster. And somehow kind of disaster keeps working its way into the conversation. But just stepping back and looking commodity across all of the agricultural commodities, how would you kind of describe 23 before we dig a little deeper on each one?
Well, I don't want to say disaster. I don't think it was. I mean, you have to look at the, you know, if you look at it from a production standpoint, it was a good year. Now, not everybody had a great year or good year, but it, you know, overall the averages came out to where they needed to come out at. It wasn't a failure. We started out the year kind of on shaky legs. Those markets, the corn and beans especially, saw the market just continue to trend lower essentially from December 31st of 22 until mid to late May. And a lot of it was concern over what was going on in the world markets. Where was the demand? Because we had seen Brazil pick up that deal with China to ship them corn, and so we lost all sorts of demand that way. But then it turned to, oh my goodness, we're never going to raise a crop, right? We were dry as a bone here in the Midwest for a long time. The South had their issues. Some areas were way too wet. Some areas were way too dry. But overall, it was one of those years where you just didn't know what you had. We started to get a little bit of rain here and there, but this also shows kind of the toughness of the genetics that we've grown over the last 10 or so years. Ever since that 2012 drought, the genetics have gotten so much better that we can withstand diverse weather conditions and adverse weather conditions the way that we saw this year. So we did end up with a decent crop overall in the corn and the beans, and even the wheat did okay. So we ended up with a decent year from a production standpoint. Now, there's going to be a lot of people in the market. There's going to be a lot of people that are producers that are going to tell you that this year was a disaster because prices did not hold up. That's to be expected. Look what we've done with inflation. We've seen rising rates for the better part of the last year and a half to 2 years. Well, that was going to happen eventually. We were going to see prices come down. And unfortunately, they did come down. But if you look at the resilience of that bean market especially, we're still holding $13 beans. This is still an elevated level. Now, it's not 15 or 16 like we want it to, but it's the same thing can be said about the corn as well. Sitting near this this $5 level, this is probably overvalued for what we have in the market here. You're talking about a corn crop that has 2.1 billion in carryout. There's no reason we should be sitting at $4.71 as we close out 2023. We should be much lower. So we're holding value pretty well, I would say, in these markets.
Well, and I think you hit the right tone there, especially with the corn market. Anything else as we look back at 23, I want to give us time as well to maybe look to 24, but corn and soybeans, obviously we've seen some issues outside of the U.S. Did that play a role in where the markets went?
Yeah, we play this game where the Russia-Ukraine situation really gets us excited for somewhere between 6 and 24 hours at a time. And that played into the market quite a bit this year. So, we saw initially after the Russia-Ukraine invasion, that was massive movement in the wheat market. That was massive movement in the corn market, and that held us together for the beans. But ever since then, now we're working on almost 2 years past. Ever since then, every time we hear something that happens over there, we get excited for a few hours, and then the market backs off. We've held these levels pretty well. So the demand situation, although it got off to a very slow start for us here in the U.S., it's actually picked up. The numbers that the USDA is showing probably need to be addressed on this next report coming up on January 12th. Probably need to see about 50 million bushels increased on the corn balance sheet for export demand, maybe 10 to 15 million bushels on soybeans, and then maybe about 25 to 50 million bushels on the wheat side of things. Those are big deals. You know, you've got the Brazilian competition for soybeans. You've got the corn and the wheat competition with the Russians and the Ukrainians. And at this point, we're holding our own despite some higher prices. And I know producers are going to look at these prices and say, well, this isn't that high. It is based off of where we stand on these ending stock numbers.
You know, as we, and I'll just touch for a moment on cotton as well. That's been somewhat of a roller coaster ride, especially over the last 18 months. And again, big questions on whether or not the U.S. would raise the amount of cotton that we thought they would early in the season.
Right. Yeah. This is something that, you know, you look at this cotton market and it seems like Texas is typically working from a deficit no matter what at this point. The production weather doesn't cooperate with us. We see these numbers come back down. The Southeast ends up with a decent crop, but the production numbers come down. The overall planting numbers come down, and I think they will continue to come down at 80 cents. 80 cents right now. That's or 81. That's still a little bit low for where guys want to be pricing. But if you look at the history of this cotton market, you get somewhere in the mid 80s to low 90s. That's a great opportunity for marketing. So we're not far off of that. And you go out to even looking at that July contract, just shy of 83 cents. We're still in a decent spot. So we'll continue to watch that for opportunities. But overall, I think that the biggest thing with the cotton market is there's a lack of understanding of whether or not we do have good export and good usage, because it seems like versus our production, our export demand is very good, but it's not driving the markets as high as it should.
Let's touch on livestock here, and obviously we know we're dealing with tight supplies on the cattle side, but when you look back at 23 for livestock, what do you think will stand out?
Well, I think it's going to be production numbers. We saw this this past year, and this is going to be something that we need to be watching. And I think the biggest thing at this point is, do these production numbers continue to look a little bit lower? We're looking at say the hog side of things with maybe some breeding stock liquidation off this last hogs and pigs report. That tends to give us some lower numbers eventually, but it's going to take some time. The same thing can be said about this cattle market. Such a long-term uptrend for most of this year up until about September, and then all of a sudden the market takes a nosedive. And a lot of it becomes when we start to look at these cattle on feed numbers. And 3 months in a row now, we've seen these cattle on feed numbers show more cattle than what we were expecting. And that's what's driving this lower. And then again, you also see the meats. We're seeing good exports to start 2024, but your boxed beef numbers have been getting beat up. Your pork numbers, your wholesale pork numbers have been getting beat up. So the meat side of things is not holding up nearly as well as it should be for markets that, especially in the cattle market, that has held such a good uptrend for the better part of 9 to 10 months. So I think as we look out to 2024, we're going to watch these production numbers. Can we continue to see these minor liquidations or these liquidated numbers to help prop us up a little bit? I think we can, but we also need to get that other side of it, the other side of the ledger, which is the meat side of things, and we need to continue to see that go in a better direction. One of the concerns that you have overall in this going into 2024 is we're going into an election year. That tends to be a little bit rough on the sometimes the economy, sometimes the stock market takes a little bit of a dip as we start an election year. If the money value that is, you know, that these that people are working with is not necessarily there, we might see a scramble for lower cost cuts of meat, whether that's some of the pork side of things or the chicken side of things. And we'll maybe migrate away from the beef side of things, which has been a little bit more expensive for the last couple of years.
Okay. We're running out of time, but as we look to 24, what do you see on the radar?
I think a lot of it is going to be answered over the next few weeks here when it comes to the grains overall. Brazil is going into that very big time of the year as far as their main production phase for soybeans. They've already seen some issues. They started out very hot, very dry. So if we see some hiccups over the first couple of weeks of January, we could see some of these production numbers fade a little bit. Right now, we're talking about 160-ish million tons of production down there. I've seen numbers going down as low as 151 to 153. So if we do cut another, say, 10 million tons off of that, that's a pretty substantial cut. That's going to start to turn that bean market a little bit bullish. It also gives you a little bit of concern about the timing of the planting of that safrinha crop down in Brazil. That's their second crop corn. That's 75% of their overall production. So you got to be very careful that if they were delayed on planting their soybeans, that could push or could make them not plant some of those safrinha acres down there as well. So over the first couple of weeks to first couple of months of the year, we're going to really start to get a better idea of what things look like in South America. And that can set the tone for everything here in the United States as far as potential for export demand.
Well, it's always good to visit with you. Happy New Year. And let's talk again more often in 24. Will you come back and see us?
I'll definitely come back and see you, Tony. I appreciate coming on your show and helping you out anytime I can.
Greg McBride is Director of Brokerage with Allendale in McHenry, Illinois, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report, and Greg McBride's with Allendale. Will it be a busy year in 24?
It's going to be a banger of a year here at Allendale. We're going to start in January. We're going to do our Ag Leaders Conference. We're going to be talking about marketing for corn, beans, wheat, cattle, hogs. We're going to have a big weather presentation from Drew Lerner. So we're going to talk about everything to set up producers for the first 6 months of the year, at the very least, letting them get to know what the overall weather looks like. How is El Nino going to play into this, and give you an idea of how to finish out marketings from last year, and then how to start your marketings for the 24 crop.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
This is Shaquille O'Neal reminding you that any time is a good time for the cooling, drying, freshening of Gold Bond Powder Spray. Like after the gym.
Or a crowded elevator ride.
Or golf.
Or working with farm animals.
or a hard day's work. Stay cool with Gold Bond Putter Spray.
Stay cool with Gold Bond.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Greg McBride with Allendale. And if we want to keep up with Allendale, how do we do that?
You can absolutely do it online. Our website is allendale-inc.com. That is changing to the Allendale Hub over the next few weeks here. So we're going to have, we're going to revamp our website, revamp how we deliver our information. And it's going to give you some more insights and better coverage of the markets that we follow the closest here.
Greg McBride with Allendale on the Agribusiness Report.
Countdown 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Does this describe you and your hunt for an entry-level job?
I really want to work on climate change. I don't know how to get my foot in the door.
If that's you, listen up. The door of opportunity is opening. Claire Sielrowski is with USDA's Rural Development Mission, working with energy programs, some of which help farmers install clean energy systems. And she says applications from producers for those programs have been setting records.
And so we need more people to help us administer these programs.
USDA has just posted job announcements, 40 positions under its Climate Change Fellows program, new positions opening up initially in 33 states and Puerto Rico.
And so these fellows will be basically working with the energy lead in their state and actually going through these applications from farmers and evaluating them, you know, with some training, of course, and then awarding these new projects.
For more information, go online, search Climate Fellows USDA. Climate Fellows USDA, application deadline January 9th. Gary Crawford, Washington.